glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God. We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God. We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God. We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. Are you having a great year so far? Everyone having a great year? All right, excellent. I'm having a great year. I want to wish everybody a happy New Year. Some of you I haven't seen since December. Some of you I haven't seen in so long. Last time I saw you, I was still 39. I'm 40 years old now. That's how long it's been. Y'all come visit me at the nursing home. Please, please, please do that. This is a new year, and we want to see you. Everyone say, see. We want to see you have the best year ever. If you don't know who I am, my name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm glad that you're here at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Greetings to everyone in the room and everybody watching, listening online. Happy New Year to you, too. Make this year a year that glorifies God. And why don't you come out and see us in Plano, Texas? We'd love to meet you. I want to talk to you in our new sermon series for this new year, 2020 Vision. Somebody say 2020 Vision. We really want you to think about the year that's ahead, and we want you to see it through all the way to the end. And we want this to be literally your best year ever. That's what we want. I've got a few questions for you, though. Listen, do you want this year to be like last year? You can answer that out loud. Anybody want this year to be exactly like last year? You know, there's a reason nobody says happy old year. They all say happy new year. And you don't want to be groundhogging this year. Anybody know Groundhog's Day, that movie? The best Bill Murray movie ever. And if you don't believe it's the best Bill Murray movie ever, we'll pray for you later that you would see that revelation. But in that movie, he wakes up every day and it's the exact same day. It would be crazy if you lived every day of this year exactly like it was in 2019. I think you know that you don't want that, and I think you understand that God doesn't want that for you. So you want a different year, am I right? In order for you to have a different year, you have to be willing to be different yourself. Does that make sense? You have to be willing to live differently, to think differently, to speak differently, to act differently, to live differently. So in other words, you want a different kind of year, then that means you have got to change. And we don't usually like that word sometimes. We're like, we think we like that word until we're hit with some of the change, right? Right? Next question. Do you want this year to be a successful year?
Yes.
If you say no to that, you just need to pray, because that is not God's plan for you to have an unsuccessful year. I'm just telling you, that's not in God's plan for you. It's not in God's will for you. So I got to ask you this, though. What is success? You see, I can get anybody to say, yes, Chris Fluitt, I want a successful year. That's not a hard sell, is it? But then if you follow that question up with what is success, that's where things get different. That's where things drop off the cliff, right? Yeah. Have you defined what success is? This is a real simple lesson. It's worth the price of admission today. If you don't define your success, you'll never know when you have success. Some of you have actually had successful years, but you never defined your success. So great things happened, but you didn't know that was successful. Some of you spent the whole last year with your family, and you never defined that as success. So you're feeling like a loser when you just spent the whole year with your family. Do you know how many people didn't spend the year with their family, and they abused their relationships, and their relationships suffered? Yes. Do you know how many people didn't defined as success Getting out of debt. And some of you got out of debt, but you still feel like losers. The problem wasn't your action. The problem was that you, at the beginning of the year, didn't see what success was, and you didn't define success. If you ever want to be successful, you need to first define what success is. If you want a successful year, you at least need to make time to define what that success is going to look like. Far too many people give lip service. Stop me if you've seen this anywhere on social media. New year, new me. They just write that. And everybody's like, uh-huh. Yeah, I'll see that when I believe it. My goodness, you're posting the exact same stuff. You're just as unhappy as you were last year. The calendar has changed, but that's all that has changed. There's been a 2 and a 0 added to your calendar, but that is the only different thing. Anybody with me? That they have that lip service, a new year, new me, and then that was supposed to do something magical, right?
Right.
How about this one? Have you ever seen somebody that has resolutions that are positive but unrealistic? Right? Like, okay, so somebody who has not worked out in forever is suddenly like, you know what? I'm going to lose 200 pounds this year. It's like, I love your spirit. I love your heart. That's a good goal. But could you come back to earth and be a little bit realistic? Because I got news. Losing weight is harder than putting on weight. And somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say amen on that. It is harder to lose weight than gain weight. So these resolutions that are so big, but they aren't realistic, and you know it's just lip service. You know that it's just talk. How about this one? Somebody declares, this is going to be the best year ever. Anybody hear somebody declare that? And they just expect it to happen because they declared it. It's kind of like one of my favorite TV shows where a guy named Michael Scott declares bankruptcy. If you don't know what that looks like, it looks just like this. We do have this video, right?
I declare bankruptcy!
Michael Scott needs to declare bankruptcy, but he doesn't know that that's actually like a court proceeding, that there's like forms that you fill out, there's things you do. He thinks all he has to do is walk out in the middle of the room and somebody yell it with me, I declare bankruptcy! Let me tell you, there are people that treat their resolutions and their new year just like Michael Scott. I declare, this is the year of God's favor. I just declare, this is the year, it's going to be the best year ever. Can I tell you, you've got to do more than say it out loud. It's not doing it just to say it out loud. Now, there's power in saying things out loud, but it's got to go beyond lip service. Can you say lip service for me? Lip service is consent in one's words while dissenting in one's heart. You consent with your words that flow out of your mouth, but you are dissenting, you are disagreeing with your heart. You can declare all you want with your mouth, and that's what the new year is mainly about. People declaring with their mouth what's going to happen this year. But until what you declare with your mouth connects with your heart, and then flows through your life, you haven't really done anything.
All right.
Say it again. With what comes out of your mouth, it has to agree with your heart, and then it has to flow out of your life. And until you have done those things, you really haven't done anything. What you say, what's in your heart, and what's in your life. Jesus warns us about lip service. Very directly, in Matthew chapter 15 and 8, he says these words, these people honor me with their what?
Lips.
But their what? Hearts are far from me. There were people that came up to Jesus and they said all the right words, but their heart was very far from him. Their heart was dissenting, but their words were consenting. That is, someone say it with me, lip service. And we need more than lip service this year. Do you want a successful year? You have got to do more than just say, I want a successful year. Your heart, your words, and your life all need to agree together. Can someone say amen on that?
Amen.
Do you want that successful year? Then you have got to define your success and then live it out 365 days. Today I want to give you a target to aim for. I want to give you a mission. I want you to leave today with your own mission. What is mission? Someone say mission.
Mission.
Mission. Whatever you define as success becomes your mission for this year. Whatever you define it, I'm going to let you define it. I'm not going to define it for you. I want you to come up with a definition of what success looks like for you this year. And then that is your mission. Mission is the what. Somebody say what.
What?
Mission is the what. What are you trying to accomplish? What is success? What is going to bless you? What is going to encourage you? What is going to lift up your family? What is going to bring a new meaning into your life? These are the what's. Mission is all about the what. So many people don't know their mission. They don't. A life with no target is aimless. You're watching basketball, and there's a guy on the court that never shoots the ball. How many points is he going to score?
Zero.
0 points, right? He's going to score 0 points because he never shoots the ball. You've got to have a target, and you got to take shots. And that is all about your mission. Do you know your mission? You need to find your mission today. And you need to define your mission today.
Yeah.
All right? Somebody say vision.
Vision.
What's a vision? Vision is the how. Mission is the what. And vision is the how. How will you accomplish your mission? How will you accomplish your success? It is not enough to have a dream of something better.
All right.
Lip service is not enough. You need to plan. You need to envision, and then you need to work towards the mission.
Amen.
Does this make sense? You need to plan. You need to envision, and then you've got to work. We saw Elizabeth dance earlier. Elizabeth, thank you for sharing your talent with us. That was wonderful today.
Amen.
She was amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
Now, while she was dancing, did any of you think, oh, wow, this is her first time ever dancing?
Oh, no.
Never taken a lesson before. Wow. It's amazing. No one thought that. Why didn't you think? Did you need somebody to tell you that she's danced before?
No,
her technique showed you. Her confidence showed you. Her strength and performance showed you. She made dancing her mission a long time ago, and it shows. A lot of times someone will see somebody like Elizabeth and they'll go, I want to do that. And the truth is, they can do that if they would take the mission and then get the vision and work at it every day. She did not just decide, you know what, I'm just going to jump on stage this Sunday at a random church. That's not what she did. No, she made dancing her mission, and then she envisioned hard work until it became a reality.
All right.
She envisioned hours of practice. Elizabeth, have you practiced for hours? Have you practiced hours a day? Like one day you practice for hours and then the next day you practice for hours and is that true? Yes. She envisioned that. She envisioned exercise to strengthen and perfect her technique. She envisioned that she might fall sometimes. That she might not get it perfectly correct sometimes, but that she would pick herself up and that she would try it again. Elizabeth had more than lip service. And she is benefiting in success because she has more than lip service. Do you have more than lip service today? So you don't have to raise your hand. I will be the brave one to raise my hand. Anybody want to get in shape? Yeah, I want to get in shape this year. I want to get in shape. That's the what that I want to do. That is the mission. But I've got to have more than the mission. I've got to come back and not just declare it with my mouth. I've got to envision it. I've got to have a vision, a 2020 vision. So people want to get in shape. But can you envision yourself at a gym weekly, maybe 3 to 6 times a week? Can you envision that? Can you envision yourself not eating Golden Corral out of business every week? Can you envision that? Can you envision saying no every once in a while to Blue Bell ice cream? Can you envision that? Can you envision yourself running? If you can't envision it, it is just lip service. Anybody want healthier finances this year? Get out of debt. Save for the future. Make a difference in the world with the dollars that come into your bank account. Make those kind of difference. Well, that's wonderful, but can you envision a budget? Can you envision a plan that says, I'm only going to spend this much money so I can save this much money, right, so then I can do this in the future? Can you envision a budget? Can you envision saying no to impulse buys so that you can say yes to things that truly matter? You know that you can't say yes to everything. Right. So you have to find some things in your budget that you say no to so that you can choose to say yes to the things that truly matter. And some of you have been so frustrated about that because you see real needs that you wish that you could give to. Yeah. There's a person that's in need of food. There's a person that's having trouble paying for their hospital bill. And you're like, I wish I could do that. There's a reason you can't do that. You said yes to impulse buys, yes to Starbucks, yes to other things. And so now you can't say yes to things that really pull on your heart. This year, can you envision saying no to some things that you used to say yes to, so that you can say yes to the things that really, really matter? Can you envision it? Can you envision, I don't want to mess with anybody's business, but can you envision cutting spending out of your life? I mean, right now, looking back at last year, you spent money in this area. Can you envision cutting it? Maybe some of your subscriptions, right? Maybe your cable bill. Maybe you don't need that. Maybe all those subscriptions. If you're not careful, you can have like 5 streaming subscriptions nowadays. Maybe you need to cut some of those. You know, The Mandalorian season 1 just ended, so cut Disney Plus. We'll see if Disney's watching. All right. But you've got to envision it. You've got the mission, but do you know how you're going to do it? If you can't envision it, it may be just lip service. Lastly, how about this one? You want to get closer to God. Anybody want to raise their hand on that one? Just be open. I want to be closer to God this year. I want the end of this year for me to be in another level in God than at the beginning. I want that. I want that, and I want that for my family, and I want that for my church. But can you envision? How about this? Can you envision attending worship services more regularly? Can you envision that? Can you envision joining a connect group, coming to First Wednesday worship, and not just showing up, but really pouring yourself into it, really ministering to others, and really opening yourself up for God to use you in moments, right? Amen. Maybe finding ways to help out around here. Can you envision reading your Bible?
Yes.
Let's spend some time there, y'all. Can you envision your Bible being touched more than once every 2 weeks? Once a month? I'm going to throw this out. Can you envision touching your Bible, reading it 4 times this week and every week? That you will get your Bible out, that you will read it, that you'll study it, and that you'll ask God to reveal himself in his word. Can you envision that? Can you envision it? Can you envision prayer in your life? It's a really weird thing when Christians don't pray, y'all. It's a really weird thing when Christians say, yes, there's a God in heaven, and yes, he loves us, and yes, he cares about all that we're going through, but we don't talk to him. That's pretty crazy, y'all. That is insane. Can I tell you, you need to envision prayer in your life. Whatever that looks like. I'm not telling you to pray like I do. I'm telling you to make prayer a part of your life. It's your life, not my life. Make it a part of your life. Find a way to do it. Find a way to do it. Envision it. Can you envision growing your faith? Can you? Rarefied air. Can you envision sharing your faith? Can you envision it? You got to see it. I'm telling you. And it can be awkward. I get it. I'm with you. I'm not beating you down. I'm not. But there's these awkward moments where, like, I have to open my mouth, and I'm not always good at opening my mouth and sharing what I know about Jesus. Can you get better at that this year? Can you, because you grew in your faith, step out on faith and then speak your relationship with Jesus and what you've learned about God to someone else? Can you do that? Can you envision it? Can you see it? Can you envision influencing your family and friends? Can you envision the seat that sits empty beside you being filled with a family member or a friend? Can you envision it? You need to. You need to. I want you to. Church, let's do it. If you can't envision it, what am I going to say? It's just lip service. Everyone say 2020 vision. You need 2020 vision. On this first Sunday of the year, I want you to envision your year. Here's a great scripture about vision. It's Proverbs 29 and 18. If you can read this out loud with me, I'd like it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Your successful year is going to perish without a vision. But no, you don't understand, Pastor Chris. I wrote on Instagram, I took a selfie and everything, and I said, new year, new me. No. It's going to perish without a vision. All your goals are going to perish without a vision. All your goals for your children. All your goals for your finances. Big things that are important. You took the time to dream of them. But they're going to die without a vision. In the NIV translation, it says, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. It reads that way. Without a vision, the people cast off restraint. Say that. Cast off restraint. That's what it says. What does that mean? That means without a vision, you will cast off restraint and you will wander away from your vision. Has anybody ever done that in their life? On January 1st, you were gung-ho about this, but on January 5th, you were not, and that was the last time you went to the gym or something like that. That was the last time you touched that book, right? That's the last time. If you don't have a vision, you will cast off restraint. You will cast off discipline, and you will end up wandering away from your goal, from your success, from your vision. We need the restraint of a focused vision. I don't like the word restraint. Do you like the word restraint? Like, I just imagine something holding you back and holding you to something, and it's like restraining, something that's restraining you. Guess what? You need to have something that restrains you to success. All right. You need to handcuff yourself to success. Amen. You can't wander away from it because you are constrained to it. You are restrained to it. You are handcuffed to it. And you can't get away from that success. God has a plan for you. You need to handcuff yourself to God's plan. You need to handcuff yourself to the will of God. Some marriages should have never ended. Can I get an amen on that? Some marriages should have never, ever, ever ended. They needed to handcuff themselves to a covenant, to a promise that they made to each other. Without a vision, without a promise, without this dream, you will wander off to something else. Something is already trying to distract you and pull you away from the resolutions you've made. For me, it's cheesecake. Not even kidding. That sounds so good right now. But you need to find a way to restrain yourself to your goals and to your vision. What are you going to do this year? That's your mission. How are you going to do it? That is your vision. It's not enough to know in this moment. See, that's the other thing. So many times we have that light bulb moment go off. We have that inspirational moment. We go, that's it. I really can do it. Yeah, I can go back to school. Yeah, I can be successful. Yeah, I can go get a better job. I can do all those things. That's so good. I didn't know that 5 minutes ago, but now I realize it. It's so good. But let me tell you, it is not enough just to know it in this moment. You've got to know it after you've walked out the door. You've got to know it after you've woken up in the morning. You can't just forget it. How about this? You've got to still know after it becomes difficult. You've got to still know after someone tells you no. You've got to still know after you have failed. You've got to still know. You need to know it throughout the year. So many people get it together for the very beginning. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year. In the next few moments, they feel so hopeful and they know it in that moment, but that moment becomes fleeting. You've got to not just know it in that moment. You've got to carry it into every moment. Look at somebody, point at them, and tell them, carry it into the next moment. Carry it into the next moment. Please do it. Please do it. Can I tell you, it is one of the hardest things as a minister to have people come down to this altar and have a moment with God. And we're so thankful for that moment. So glad that they have that moment with God. But what is so sad is when they walk away from the moment and they forget about what God told them in the moment. They forget about the promises they received in the moment. And when they forget about it, they cast off restraint and they wander off. Don't do that. We've got a scripture memory verse. We're going to look at it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Some of you may have never said the name Habakkuk. Let's practice it. Habakkuk. What is Habakkuk? It's the name of a prophet. Somebody named their son Habakkuk. Anybody in here who has trouble with what your parents named you, there was a dude named Habakkuk, and he still made a good thing out of his life. So, Habakkuk, let's read it together. It's part of our scripture memory. Let's read it. Then the Lord replied, write down the vision and make it plain on tablets so that whoever reads it may run with it. Isn't that cool? Did you know that they had tablets in the Old Testament? That is so cool. iPads, it probably was generation one or something. That is so cool. No kids. Those tablets are tablets of stone.
Right.
Tablets of stone. Make sure you get that. Let's review on this verse. It says to write it down. Write it down. Can I tell you what is written down does not change? Especially when it's in stone, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to erase what's written in stone. But what you write down doesn't change. I've learned this in writing music, right? I've got to write down the lyrics that I'm writing because if I'm not careful in 5 minutes, I will forget them and they will change and they'll never be as good. They will never be as good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've got this inspiration, and if you don't write that inspiration down or pull out your phone and record it, you will forget that inspiration. You'll be like, oh, it sounded so much better 5 minutes ago. What was it that I said? You've got to write it down. What you write down doesn't change, and also what you write down is not forgotten. The Lord is giving Habakkuk something so important, it needs to be written down. It's not going to change, Habakkuk. Write this down, and you will not want to forget it. I believe God wants to speak to you tonight in such a way that you need to write it down. Do you believe that God could speak to you something so important tonight that you will need to remember it for the rest of your life? That's the kind of God I serve. He can speak to you in such a way tonight that you write it down, and it can be something that you say 10 years from now, 30 years from now, that you could share with somebody when they're at their lowest. It's amazing. Anybody relate to this? You talk to somebody who's crying and they're really out of hope. And I had a call this week. Somebody who used to be in this church and now is living in Orlando, Florida, came to me and they said, "Pastor, I just thought about you and I needed to call you. I'm at my wit's end and I don't know what to do. Is there anything you can tell me?" And my goodness, you know what I reached down and I found? I reached down and I found something that God told me a long time ago that I had him write down on my heart so I would never forget it. And I shared it with that person and they started weeping and they started crying. They said, "I believe you. I believe that God's not done with me. I believe that he cares for me. I believe that God can speak to you in such a way tonight that years from now you could reach back to this moment and declare the thing that God declared to you tonight, and it would change someone's life forever." Amen. Write it down. Write it down. When you write it down, it represents that a decision has been made. You need to write it down tonight. Make a decision and then don't go back on that decision. There's a reason they have you write down your name on every contract. It means that you have agreed to it. Somebody needs to agree tonight. You also need to remember it. Do you know that science tells us that when we write it down, we're more likely to remember it? I learned that in studying for school, that if I would write down my notes, it was never quite as good to just take someone else's notes. And it's actually not as good to even type it out. You actually need that muscle memory helping you to form connections in your mind to remember it. Just writing down your goals, by just writing them down, science says that you're more likely to accomplish them. All right. You need to remember them. Not only that, you can write something down and you can put it where you'll see it all the time. And in God's word, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, it said several times that they needed to write something down and they needed to wear it on their wrist so they would always remember it. They needed to write it on the doorposts of their house so they'd always remember it. They needed to put it at the front gate so when they walked past the gate, they would remember it. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to write it down so that you will remember it. And then you need to make it plain. Make it plain. I actually have a friend that I went to church with, and he would, when the preacher would preach, he'd always, instead of saying amen, Charles, he would say, "Make it plain. Make it plain, Pastor. It's like, I really like what you're saying. You just need to lay it on a little plainer. Just really tell him. Make it plain." Somebody say, "Make it plain.
Make it plain."
Make it plain. I can't read that verse without thinking of my friend there. It doesn't need to be confusing. Right? TV show Seinfeld. Seinfeld wakes up in the middle of the night. He thinks of a joke, and he's like, "Oh, that's really funny," but it's like 3 a.m. and he's half asleep and he writes it down. And in the morning, he's like, "Why was this funny? What, can you figure this out?" And he's the first of the episode. He's like, "What is this about? It's not even..." At the end, he finally remembers what it is, and it is indeed not even funny to begin with. But you need to make it plain so that when you read it, you know what it means.
Right.
It needs to be well thought out. This is your future we're talking about here. And you need to think about it. And you need to be able to communicate your mission and vision. Have you ever had somebody ask you, "What do you want to do in life? What do you want to do in this career?" And then you kind of just stumbled around like you had never thought about it, even though maybe you had thought about it, but you hadn't formed a plan and you hadn't learned to communicate your plan. And guess what? If you hadn't thought that far ahead, maybe you're dabbling in lip service. Can others run with your vision? Is your vision that compelling? It says that whoever reads it may run with it. Could your heart, your dream, and your purpose be so compelling that when someone else is exposed to it, they say, that's what I've been looking for. That's the kind of life I want to live. I want your success. I want your joy. I want your family. I want your kind of career. You are called of God, and I want that too. Does anybody feel that way? Do you want that today? That somebody looks at you with no hope, and they look at you with hope, and they say, what's your secret? I need to know it. Can others run with your vision? Is your vision that compelling? God spoke to this prophet Habakkuk to write down the vision, to make it plain, so that whoever reads it may run with it. That is the entire Bible, really. I want you to think about this. The entire Bible is God speaking to a man to write it down. To write it down and make it plain, just like I said. Don't even add anything to it. You just say exactly what I say. And then here we are in the year 2020, and we're opening up this book that's been written down. And then we read it, and we say, we are going to run with this. This is a microcosm of the entire Bible. Make it plain on tablets so that whoever reads it may run with it. Can I tell you, the Bible that we're looking at tonight was made for more than you just read. It was made for more than you to just quote or for us to sing songs about. You're supposed to run with this thing. It is worth running with. It is worth making your life centered on this word. It is worth it. You can write down a vision for your life today and carry it throughout the rest of the year. And that's powerful. But can I tell you what's even more powerful? What you write down today, someone else might run with. What God tells you today and you start living out, someone else might get a hold of it and they might start running with it. I'm telling you that your spouse can run with it. That your children can one day run with this calling of God. That people you don't even know yet one day could get exposed to what God tells you tonight. People you may never even meet might hear your story, and it impacts them. It can happen. Can I tell you a little further? It ought to happen. Every one of us ought to be that influential that we are reaching not only our whole family, we're reaching people we know, we're reaching people we don't know and may never meet. That is what God wants for you in the year 2020. I'm telling you right now. I want you to tell you to write down the vision. When you came in today, you were handed note cards. Did everyone get a note card? If you were not handed a note card, you just raise your hand. We will get you a note card. I want you to spend time today writing down the vision. What is the vision? How do I know what the vision is? Well, write something down. Don't leave it blank. Let's just start there. Don't leave it blank. Write something down. Write what's in your heart. Write what's in your dreams. You know those daydreams that you have? One day I picture myself doing? Write it down. Make that what you write down. What about the last thing God told you? Some of you, God's spoken to you in the past, and you haven't yet fulfilled the thing he's told you to do, write that down tonight. Whatever the vision is, I want you to write it down on these simple note cards I give to you. Define your success on that note card. For some of you, I'm going to lose weight. For some of you, it's going to be my budget. For you, it's going to be, I'm going to reach out to a friendship that I lost. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to be happier. I'm going to be healthier. That you need to define your success. You need to define your mission. And then I want you to go beyond lip service. On that card, I want you to say how you're going to do it. I want you to challenge yourself with real specifics. Don't just be pie in the sky. You know, it's just going to be better. It's just going to be good. No, how is it going to be better? How is it going to be good? You are going to spend how much time with your family? You're going to be spending time with your family doing what exactly and when exactly? Go ahead and write it down. Go beyond lip service and challenge yourself to write down what you will do. Before you come and spend time talking to God, writing down the vision, I want to tell you to focus on the future. Very quickly, say, focus on the future.
Focus on the future.
What you put on the card tonight is about your future. It's about what is going to happen in your life. We are not going to spend time writing about what happened in the past. Whatever you focus on, you end up traveling towards. That's why they tell you to keep your eyes on the road, right? Because wherever your eyes are, that's where you're going to drive, right? That's why young guys driving, they almost run over every pretty girl they see. Because they're looking at the pretty girl. I want to tell you today to focus on the future. Far too many of us have focused on the past. Far too many of us can't even talk about the new year because we're still living in 2019. We're still living in the hurt that happened. We're still living with something someone said about us to our face most many years ago. We're still focused on a failure that happened in the past. I want to tell you tonight, God wants you to let go of that and focus on what is in your future. Do you believe me on that? Some people have trouble focusing on this year because of a past mistake, of a past heartbreak, and a past bad decision. I want to tell you, your vision is all about the future. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says this: one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One thing I do, that one thing is this: forgetting what's behind and pressing toward what's in front of me. I want to tell you tonight, some of you needed to hear this next sentence. God gives you permission to forget what's behind you. God gives you permission to forget about your failure. God gives you permission to forget about the divorce. God gives you permission to forget about the sin of your past. God gives you permission to forget about those things. You have permission to forget about what's behind you. Press towards what is in front of you. How about this? We repent of the past. We ask God to forgive us of it. And we are no longer looking at the past, but we're looking to Jesus Christ. When you repent of the past, you can always move forward. If you, in this place, feel like you have trouble moving forward today, then you need to repent of whatever is in your past. We talked about defining success this year, didn't we?
Yes.
Shouldn't God be a part of that?
Shouldn't
we take a moment and say, God, would you define 2020 for me? Would you define what needs to happen in my family? Some of you felt a pull in your heart about something I talked about tonight, but you don't know what you should do with it. Here's what you should do with it. You should come talk to God and say, what do I do with it? In this area, you want me to focus on that. You speak to me and you show me what to do. Will you allow God to help define your future today? Will you give him permission? He's given you permission to not focus on the past. If there's anybody that could always focus on our past, it's God, right?
Yeah.
He could talk to us about all of our failure. He's given us permission to not focus on the past. Will you give God permission to focus on your future? These altars are open right now. Why don't you come talk to God? I've got pens right up here. Why don't you come grab a pen? And why don't you begin to pray? Why don't you begin to write? Father, right now, I pray for everyone in this house. I pray for everybody watching, listening online. I pray for everybody that you've been reaching our hearts, God, right now. Lord, I forget about my past and I run towards the future. I press towards the future in you right now. I want you to touch all of our hearts. I want you to minister to us. I want you to really speak to us and give us a vision for this new year. God, give us a vision for success. God, I give you permission to come define my success right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to come into the first 2 feet. I want to pray with you. God can speak to you and change your life right now in this instant. Do you want it? I want it for you, but you've got to want it in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's talk to God in this house.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.